Spirit by the works of the law, by hearing of faith, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Does he who supplied the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing of faith? And then a few verses later he says, in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive this promised Spirit through faith. And there's a few reasons why I wanted to add this text there. Is Paul is arguing that every single believer has received the Holy Spirit. And I just want to start there tonight. That if you have faith in Christ Jesus, what I mean with faith in Christ Jesus, if you are someone that believe that it's right between you and God because of the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ, if you're someone who believes that it's well with your soul, that God is your Father, and that it's right with you because of what Jesus has done, that Jesus took away your sins on the cross and took punishment for you on the cross, then you have the Holy Spirit. We are new creation in Christ Jesus. How are we new creations? Because the Spirit of God lives inside of me. He has made me new. He has regenerated me. I was dead in my sin. How am I alive? Because of the life-giving Spirit of Christ that dwells in me. So I just want you to start there, because sometimes when we speak about the Holy Spirit, and especially in our Pentecostal environment, when we speak about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, I hear sometimes hear people argue saying, but you don't have the Spirit. And I'm like, it's not true that your saved mother in the Dutch Reformed Church does not have the Spirit of God. It's impossible to not have the Spirit of God if you're a believer. It's not possible. And sometimes I hear people say foolish things like that because they don't prophesy in tongues. We sometimes think that they don't have the Spirit of God. I just want to start tonight by saying that, obviously, if you are a believer in Christ Jesus, you have been regenerated by faith and the Spirit of God dwells inside of you. And I just want to start. I see some of you go like, okay, so you've been there. Thank you, we have that. And then I want you to see how he's talking to this church who does foolish things, like wanting to circumcise all the males and stuff like that. He speaks to them and he says, so casually, he supplies the Spirit, works among you by hearing of faith and by miracles and things like that. And it's sort of it's a everyday common occurrence. It's so common that that is the argument by which he wants to turn them away theologically. I just want you to get that. The life that they experience in this crazy Galatian church, the Gauls, asterisks and obliques, people that were relocated there, you hear me say that every time because that's really true, the French people that were moved there, even among French people, the Holy Spirit moved. Anyway, so, it's grappy. It's expats. I know that they were exiled by the Romans. But it's amazing that it was so common, that miracles were so common among them, that this was his argument to change them theologically. How cool is that? I want you to remember that the New Testament were written from experience. Everything that Paul and James and John and Matthew, everything that they wrote, well, Matthew didn't write too much about the Holy Spirit, but everything that they wrote about the Holy Spirit was written from experience. They wrote down what they experienced. That was their conviction. They tried to make sense of their life by theological study. How cool is that? So it was so common that everyone in Galatians were walking in the miracles of the Holy Spirit. Everyone witnessed it. Everyone knows about it. He doesn't have to say to them, God still does that. They witnessed it all around, and therefore he says, so can you please revert your theology about Abraham and Moses' law? It's amazing. Anyway, and then he ends with this phrase, God's promised Spirit. And I just want us to just look at the promised Spirit, because in the Old Testament, everyone was waiting for the coming of the Spirit. In the Old Testament, all the prophets, when they thought about the Messiah coming, they thought about the dispensation when the Spirit of God will again dwell with us. That was their desire. That was their longing. That the Spirit of God would again. The Holy Spirit was the one, was the coming, the new covenant that we have in Christ is because of the Spirit being promised. And you'll know that in Joel chapter 2 or in Acts chapter 2, Paul quotes Joel chapter 2. And he says, in the last day, I will pour out my Spirit. He says, guys, this is the day that we've been waiting for. This is flipping awesome. See, we are prophesying in new tongues, and people are going to dream dreams, and people are going to... This is the day that we've been all waiting for. It is the coming of the Spirit among us. And it was not just for the miracles. It's like, this is the proof that the Spirit of Christ now dwells in us. And in Ezekiel 36, he says, listen, this is what we have always been waiting for, is a change of heart because the Spirit of God indwells us. And this is what I want to talk about tonight. When Paul spoke about the Holy Spirit, you can see that in every single one of the letters, there is a promise, and it's sort of a matter of factly, the miracles, the prophecies, the tongues, the visions, and the stuff. All of those are sort of, by the way, matter-of-factly, but it was never, ever the crux of the coming of the Spirit. It was never, ever as though this was the main thing. In Paul's argument, in Paul's theology, Gordon Fee wrote a beautiful book, God's Empowering Presence, and you'll see that at the heading on the top there. It's a good 1,000-page, 967-page book that he just wrote about the theology of Paul and the Spirit. It's amazing. If you ever, there are briefer versions. Yeah, the publisher said, please, guys, can we just get it that someone can actually read it? Can you just condense it to about 200 pages? And he did, 160-something. Anyway, so you can find those. But in Paul's argument, this is the main crux of the Holy Spirit coming. It's a soteriological. It's a salvation. The Holy Spirit came for our salvation, to give us a new heart, to give me and you a new heart. Because in the Old Testament, people could never, ever overcome sin. Never, ever. It was not possible for them to have a changed spirit. It was not possible. It was not possible to be born again in the Old Testament. They could never, ever receive what John promised. You will need to be born again by the Spirit. It was not possible. So when we speak about the Holy Spirit tonight, I just want you to know that we are speaking to people that must cherish what you have. That the main function of the Spirit was salvation. To change your heart. Take away your heart from stone, Ezekiel says, and to give you a heart of flesh. To make you born again. To transform your spirit. So I just want to... That was Ezekiel 37, obviously flows on Ezekiel 36, the valley of dry bones. And God takes Ezekiel to the top of a mountain, and he says to him, So, Ezekiel, can these bones live? And then he's like, oops. Were these the guys who got the answer wrong? And he says, well, God, you alone know. You know, he doesn't want to become one of the dead bones. But then, obviously, he's prophetically speaking about Israel, that were all dead in their sin. And he says, yes, you can. He says, let me show you how it happens. Receive the Holy Spirit. And he blows. And that's when the Holy Spirit transforms dead people and makes them alive. And that was the image that he captures. The Holy Spirit is the one that makes us alive in Christ. I know I'm speaking way too long. Acts 5. I'm just going to go through these three words and then, Debbie, I'm going to stop because I promised you. Acts chapter 5. The Holy Spirit is Gordon Fee, Professor Gordon Fee. His summary of Paul's theology is this, and it's so easy to remember. The Holy Spirit is God's empowering presence. It's first of all God's empowering presence. He is the Spirit of God himself. And he's referred to as the Spirit of God quite a few times in Paul's letters, or more specifically, the Spirit of Christ himself. You remember in 1 Corinthians 6, when he writes to the church and he says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We sing that over and over. And the direct next line, he says, because the Lord is Spirit. It's a major thing. And then he unpacks it a bit, Paul. He's saying that the Holy Spirit is the person of Jesus himself among us. That is the crux of John's theology on the Holy Spirit, the book of John. He is the other paraclete. He's the other helper. He's the one, like Jesus was with us now, but he's the one that transforms us into the image of Jesus. What does the Holy Spirit do? He wants to conform you to the character and the image of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is Jesus, is God himself dwelling inside of you. And it's a big thing. Theologically, Old Testament, New Testament, it's a big thing. In the Old Testament, Adam and Eve sinned, departed from God. God chose a people, and like jumping a few hundred generations with every word I'm saying. And then Moses comes, and God saves these people to himself. And then they get to the mountain, and there's a first time ever that the whole nation had a slaughtering of God, worshiping God, and the blood gets spattered on the people to represent the covering of their sin. What is the very next word that God says to Moses and to the people? Now build me a temple that I can please live with my people again. God always wanted, since Adam's sin, to be near to his people again. But he could only live close to them and only to a select few. Otherwise, our sins lead to death in God's presence. It's not as though God's angry. Fred's image the whole time. It's the moth and the candles thing. Anyway, so tabernacle in the middle. God builds a temple. God can dwell with us. A few hundred years later, because of Eli's disobedience and his sons, what happens? The glory of God, Ichabod, is born. The glory of God departs from some of you don't know what I'm talking about. Just read Samuel. But the glory of God departs from Israel, and never again, until David comes back, was God close to his people again. And then the people sin so badly that the Assyrians come and the Babylonians and they destroy the temple and the exile comes. And God's presence, the Ark of God, is removed from Israel for a long time. And the prophets are wailing and praying and wailing and praying. For what? God, can you live with us again? And this is what God promises them. What do we know about your body that Paul says three times? He's a temple of the Holy Spirit. God wanting to be with us and in us. Never ever was it closer again. That was God's desire from the very beginning. The Holy Spirit is God wanting to be close to you. The Holy Spirit is God saying, I want to be with you. And yes, when I'm with you, he gives you life and he gives you power, but the issue is intimacy with you. The Holy Spirit is God saying, I want to be with you. I want to be in you. I want to be close to you. And that's what God has always designed. That's why we have eternal life. And the reason he had to deal with sins, but the main focus is God wanting intimacy with you. And obviously this is the reason why I talk about this before we talk about the awesome miracles and the power of the Holy Spirit. Because just like marrying someone for sex misses the whole point of intimacy, because it's not just a moment, it's like, can we have a life together? This is what I want to say this tonight. When we speak about the Spirit of God, please note that God is there to transform you into the image of Christ, to bring you to the point where you should always been, but the purpose is intimacy. And that's why so many of the things that Debbie are going to do tonight has everything to do with God wanting to share and reveal his heart to you personally. So that's the main focus. And that's why Debbie will say to you over and over tonight, it's love. The purpose is love. God wants to make his love and his power and his grace available to you because he so dearly loves you, intimacy with you. God's empowering presence. It's God's empowering presence. I'm not even going to go through all the stuff that I wrote up there. But the Holy Spirit is the power of God Almighty living in you. That's what he wrote to Paul as well. It's like it's the resurrection Christ, Romans chapter 8:11, living inside of you. It's God himself. Empowers ministers, empowers for prophecy, empowers for gifts in the Spirit. That's what we're doing tonight. Empowers for everything. Empowers for missions. And all the scriptures are up there and empowers you. Even just resistance to temptation, Galatians chapter 5. Empowers you to transform your character into Christ. Empowers to deliver you from sinful habits, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. All those are like scriptures, but it's God's empowerment for you. But please note, it's because he loves you. He wants to deliver you from sin and other people from sin. So you're just a vehicle in his mission on earth and that thing, even just for resistance and hope. And the last one is God's presence. And I've said this before, so I'm going to go there again. It's God's presence himself. And not just in you individually, but even what does 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says? He says, listen, and this will probably happen tonight. It can probably happen tonight. He says, when an unbeliever walks in and he sees everyone prophesying to one another, and he walks in and his sin is exposed because people say, listen, this is what God says. We know about this in your life, but God says, I really love you. He's going to fall down in his face and freak out and he will cry, surely God is among you. So the Holy Spirit is the manifestation. Even the manifestation of the Spirit is so that people may know that God is really among us. It's what God has always desired. The cry of Moses, God, it's great to go with you, but we won't want to go anywhere unless, not even to the promised land, unless you go with us. And he was crying God's heart back to God, saying, God, please. So when we minister about the Holy Spirit tonight, and I'm done, and I took 3 minutes too long, Debbie, I'm so sorry, but there's grace in the house. This is my heart. From the Old Testament, straight through the New Testament, The Holy Spirit is the person of God himself that is always transforming and working, making us into the image of God, but mostly facilitating relationship with God. Facilitating a relationship. As God lived with Adam, so he wants to live with us, and he does through the Spirit of God living inside of us. And I want to say the Spirit of God already living inside of you, if you're a believer, and most of you are tonight. Already living inside of you. So to think that I must grow in the gifts and the powers, I'm going to say, absolutely. I don't even want to say you have to try to get it, you will have it. It's made available because the Spirit of Christ lives inside of you. But please remember the intent the whole time. God desiring to be with you and desiring to be with other people. The love of God being made manifest. Father, this was a really, really short scope, Lord, of who you are, God. And Holy Spirit, we recognize that you are present because you're always present in me. But specifically when we gather in your name, you say that you are present. We thank you, Jesus, that you're present with us because of the Spirit of God among us. And I thank you, God, that you really love us. And I thank you tonight, God, for people that will experience the power and the love and the intimacy of God in and through them, co-working with them even, because of your presence here tonight. In Jesus' name. God, I just agree with Debbie. I say, Lord, let every lie that says that we are not good enough, let it be cast down now, God, because you are more powerful than that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's just wait on the Lord for a while before we sing the last song. Just wait on the Lord. I just experienced that there are some of you yet tonight, you really struggle to hear the voice of the Lord, and sometimes you wonder how to define your relationship with him, because it doesn't feel like it, you know, you hear his voice the whole time. And I just believe that tonight the Lord just wants to break that and just wants to open up whatever has been blocking that, if it's your mind or if it's a spiritual thing, whatever. The Lord wants to just break that. So I just want to, if that's you, if you really struggling to hear the Lord's voice, and you kind of wonder how this relationship thing works, then if you struggle to hear his voice, would you just raise your hand? There's a few of you, yeah. Okay. I just want some people around them to just keep your hands raised quickly, and just some people come around them. We're just going to quickly pray. Just ask the Lord that he would reveal that. There's someone else who's not putting up your hand right now. There's someone else who hasn't, like, put up your hand, but that's actually your struggle as well. Okay, so they could get some people come there, please. Okay, let's just, like, pray a prayer of faith. I don't really know what to pray about, but I believe God just wants to something, Lord. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you have shown this, Lord, just to us, Lord, and we thank you in the name of Jesus that you have died on the cross and you rose again and you went to heaven. You tore the veil so we can enter into your presence, that we can have a living relationship with you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that whatever is blocking these precious people from hearing your voice, Lord, whatever is blocking that, Lord, we just remove that now in the blood of Jesus, Lord. And I thank you that you will do that right now, whatever is needed, Lord, if it's a natural thing or a spiritual thing. And thank you that they can hear your voice from now, Lord. They can hear your voice from now. Thank you for the wisdom that you will impart to them on that. And thank you that this is over and they can hear. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Just want everyone that's around you guys just to quickly pray whatever the Lord's laying on your heart while we start singing the last worship song. Okay, while they are just busy praying, I just want to say, is there anyone here that's got any kind of sickness or pain in their bodies right now? Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Any kind of thing that would be good if it's better. Just raise your hand. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Okay, just keep your hand raised. Okay, great. Okay, someone be next to you, must just have the hand on you. We're going to pray for you now. So many people in the church are sick. And so often it's just because we don't really stop to pray. Like 6 years ago, one day I was really sick. I like woke up sick, and I believe that let's put it this way. I believe that you get sick once a year, so that's what you do. Like some of you have heard me say this. I believe that you get sick once a year because that's how life works. You get sick sometime in winter, and then you take antibiotics, and then you get better, okay? And then in my fourth year at university, I was studying for exams, and that morning I woke up and I had that whole flu thing going, that yellow, like, you beaver, and you course, and you kill seer, and you weet, I'm going down. And what we usually say then is, oh, I'm sick now. I'm getting sick. If you say that, you can take it. You'll have it if you speak it. But I then said, Lord, I don't want to rewrite. It's exam. I want to go on holiday. I'm not going to have a rewrite. I was actually going on missions then, so I didn't want to rewrite. And I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and it didn't go away. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. Because sometimes it's a battle. And it's not magic. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And then there was one moment where I put my head on the desk. And when I prayed and I said, Lord, come on. And when I lifted my head up, it was like 1 second. I was completely healed, like 100%. All symptoms gone. Poof. And I couldn't believe it. And I like tested everything and it was crazy. And I couldn't study anyway because of that. And I made the exam, but from that moment, I did not receive sickness in my life, and I haven't been sick. That 1 year, 2 week illness, it doesn't come. If it comes, you just fight it for 2 days and it leaves. So sickness and pain was beaten at the cross. So I want us to all, everybody who has had their hands up, we're going to pray for you now, okay? How do we pray for that? Jesus already did it, okay? It's done. Now, he told us, he said, go, heal the sick, okay? So you heal the sick. You heal the sick, okay? He already did it. Now, you must enforce it, okay? How do you do that? You say, sickness, whatever your name is, you can call him on his name, that helps a lot. You say, arthritis, in the name of Jesus, command you to leave this body. Body, I command you in the name of Jesus, be healed now. That's how you pray. Okay? That's how you start praying. If it's not healed then you say, okay, you get a little bit more information about what's going on, what's the sickness. Like sometimes you have to call the thing on its name. Like with Ronaldo, one time she had like a stomach ulcer. We thought it was like a stomach ulcer. You could feel it and it was really like, giving up. Heartburn and stuff, and we prayed, nothing happened. And we sent it to the doctor, and she came back and she said, no, the doctor said it's something similar, but it's not called an ulcer, it's called something else. And she's got like 30 days of prescription medication that she needs to take in order to like dissolve that. So now we said, aha, now we know the name of the thing, okay, because Jesus is the name above all names. Amen? So we said, it was some long medical name. We said some long medical name. In the name of Jesus, be healed now. And she was instantly healed. On the spot, it was gone. And it never came back again. And like no 1 month of pills. So there's really like power in that. Then I just want to end. I can speak long about this whole healing thing, but I want us to pray. But also be open to what the Lord says. Okay, if he wants you to like pray something specific, then you pray something something specific. Like one time I was like praying for my friend, and I prayed, and he had flu, and he didn't like feel better. And I like flu. I do flu. You know, that's why I like. That's why I got hooked. So if you got flu, come to me. But he like nothing happened, and then I just felt the Lord say, "I must say, I release the kingdom of God over him." So I said, "I release the kingdom of God over you," and he's like, "Whoa, something just happened." Okay, and it's not a formula. It's like, don't say, "I release the kingdom of God over you now." I sometimes do that, and I'm like, "Okay, it's not working. Release the kingdom of God." No, it's not working. Okay, what is that other one? You know, but just be open and continue praying, because I can tell you that sickness and pain, it goes every time if you just continue, okay? And the one or two or three occasions it just doesn't want to go, you know what? I don't know, but it's worth it for all the others. So that's what we do, okay? So everybody, hands up who had pain. Okay, everybody around you. Everybody, is there someone around everyone? Lay your hands on them. The word says if you lay your hands on the sick, they will recover. That's a promise. Okay, like I want you to pray for them right now. And then all of you who are healed is going to come forward and testify. Does everyone have someone praying for them?
You should be healed by now. Can just maybe like finish of praying in the next 30 seconds, then we can get going. Okay, is there anyone that has like a testimony that they want to share now, who is like touched by the Lord or healed right now? Just to like finish off that sickness thing. Sometimes it's just a natural sickness because there are germs in the world, okay? Now, like Jesus can heal them too, okay? So it's not only when it's a spiritual thing, but sometimes it is a spiritual thing, and then we need to also know that, because then we speak to spirits of infirmity, and we need to hear that from the Lord, and we need to find out where they came from. Okay, we need to find out where they came from to get them out. Okay, so we need to be sensitive, but the fact of the matter is that the blood of Jesus just like does it all. Okay. And yeah, just before we get going for the next week or so, we're going to do, and for now also, we're going to do a lot of like practical stuff. I want you guys to continually like do it. I want you guys to like practice these things. And we're going to work through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We're going to work through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to practice them where we are here in a safe environment. Okay. Before we do that, I just want to share a few principles, and I'll do it very quickly just to lay the foundation like Ross also did. So if we can just go to the first slide. Jesus was here. He left. He said, "It's better that I leave, because I'm only one person, and I can send you a helper." Then he's with every one of you personally, intimately, a helper, okay? A helper, okay? He's a helper. Helping. So he said, "I tell you the truth, it's your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." Okay, so we will get a helper. We can move on to the next slide. Helping with what? Okay, what do we need help with from the Lord? So I just want to categorize it into three things. Ross started with the foundational one. The last one, number three I have there, is for fellowship with God. Okay, your intimacy with the Lord. That's why the Holy Spirit is here. Okay, and then he's also here. Let's move up from number three to number two. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you," says
Jesus, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So the Holy Spirit will come and it will empower us to be witnesses. That's the other thing. And then the last one it does, then we're going to speak about that, is the commandment that Jesus gave us is, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. That is humanly impossible to do that. So you need a helper. Okay, so that's what the Holy Spirit does. And the way that Jesus helped people is, yes, he was kind, he was nice, he hugged them, he loved them, but when they were sick, he healed them. When they had demons, he changed them out. Okay, in his power, he could do so much more in terms of loving people. So helping with what? Helping with to love one another, helping to be witnesses, and helping to have that fellowship with the Lord. That's what I think the Holy Spirit is there to help us with. Okay, I'm just running through this. Then, quickly, this scripture in 1 Corinthians, in Acts 19, all it says, all it's about, it's Paul meeting a few disciples and asking them, have you heard about the Holy Spirit? So they say no. Then the story goes on. He introduces them to the Holy Spirit. He lays the hands upon them and they start speaking in tongues and prophesying. Okay, so he unlocks the power of the Holy Spirit in them. And so many of us, we come from a Reformed background or like a traditional background like myself. You have heard about the Holy Spirit, okay? Ons glo in God die Vader, die Almagtige, die Skepper van hemel en aarde, en in Jesus Christus, sy enige gebore seun, wat ontvang is deur die Heilige Gees, gebore is uit die maagd Maria, gelei onder Pontius Pilatus, wat gekruisig is, gesterf het, en begrawe is, en ter helle neergedaal het, en op die derde dag opgestaan het. It's this huge theology about the Father and about Jesus, en dan hoe gaan het? Ek glo in die Heilige Gees. Ek glo in heilige algemene Christelike kerk. All they say about the Holy Spirit is, we believe in it. Okay. But we didn't know anything, like growing up, we didn't know anything about that. Ons het nie geweet nie. En dis wat hier aangaan. Okay. So Paulus is soos, hey ouwens, het julle hiervan geweet? Hulle is soos, nee, ons nie geweet nie. Hy is soos, maal. Now I'm going to show you. Okay. So he showed them. And he introduced them to that power of God, you know, like baptism with the Holy Spirit is just basically you coming to the Lord saying, Lord, I acknowledge that I need your power. Clothe me with that power. I need to walk with that power wherever I go. So for some of us, this is applicable and we need to come to that place where we say, oh Lord, I acknowledge that I didn't know about this. I acknowledge that I need this. And then the word says that, like John the Baptist said that Jesus is the one who baptizes us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So he will then do that if you ask him to empower you with all of these gifts. Okay. So then the next slide. I'm running through these things because we actually want to get to the practice, but I want to just quickly touch on it. Let's read what it says in 1 Corinthians 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. Okay? So that's what I'm saying to you right now. Concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So these is what we call the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Most of you know about this. You know what it's all about and you've heard of it. But many of us did not grow up seeing them being practiced. And oftentimes we now, like, we know about them, but we do not have the examples of how a life looks that actually walks in it. So then we just do not walk in it. We know about it, we know it's awesome, we've seen it happen, but because many of us didn't grow up this way, we don't have an example of how you walk in it, how you like live in it. And back in those days, as Ross also said, it was so common that in this book, actually what happened here is it happened just like the Galatians, it happened all over the place, and Paul just tried to create order. You know, try to explain to them a little bit about the theology and where it comes from and what you might call this gift and that gift and da da da. So we shouldn't get too technical about this, but what it does well do is it highlights these nine gifts that the Holy Spirit empowers us with. And we're going to work on them. We're going to practice them. Especially looking forward to the working of miracles. You can just go on to the gift. The working of miracles, where we're going to just ask the Lord, Lord, thank you for rain. It's going to start raining out of the blue sky next week. So be here for that. You can buy your ticket at the office for now. We need a new car. Okay. So that's a joke. But there's so many people who sell their gifts. You get, like, you know, you come for your, like, miracle, only pay 100 rand, and then you can have your own miracle. If you have the Holy Spirit, you can have them all the time for free in the comfort of your own lounge. Okay, so exactly like Paul does in 1 Corinthians 12, I just want to quickly introduce you to these gifts. And I like, we always speak of words of wisdom, words of knowledge. I actually like this translation that says messages of wisdom, messages of knowledge and of a prophecy, because that's what it is, okay? It's a message from God that he gives through you. And we're specifically just tonight going to look at those first three messages and work on them, and then the next week we'll work on the other ones. Messages of wisdom is just to have that supernatural, crazy wisdom about someone's life where you give them advice from the Lord. We're going to look at that a bit later. Message of knowledge is when you get, like, when the Lord gives you facts about someone, about their life now, or like something that happened in the past. Okay, like it was a word of knowledge about the ankle and about those people who, you know, can't hear the Lord's voice, and that was words of knowledge. The Lord tells me a fact about someone. Then were messages of prophecy. We are going to go into a bit more detail, guys. Don't worry. I just want to introduce them. Messages of prophecy is about what the Lord is saying about you now. Okay. It's always got to do with your identity, your calling, it affirms you. Okay, it tells you what God is saying over you right now. That's prophecy. Supernatural faith is when the Lord gives you the ability to supernaturally believe something that is really ridiculous, but you just believe it with all your heart. Okay, we're going to look at stories about that as well, where you just look crazy, but you just know it's going to be fine, okay? Then there are, like, gifts of healings, plurally. So, gifts of healings. So it seems that there are a few, okay? It's not like a gift of healing. So I engage well with flu. I do not necessarily engage well with ankles. I don't know how that works, but That's why I let Evan pray for him, because I don't know the ankles. I'm just joking, okay? Most of the things I'm saying like this are just jokes, okay? But most of you know me, so that's okay. Then the working of miracles. A miracle is when there's an interruption in the natural order. Okay, when it rains out of blue sky, that's a miracle. When someone's arm just like starts growing back, that's a miracle. It's the interruption of the natural order. Okay, it's different from a healing because it's not normal. It's not just a healing. It's something hectic, you know. Then distinguishing between a spirit, some of you have that gift. You know, when you walk into a place, or when you speak with someone, you can either pick up the spiritual vibe. You'll know what spirits are ministering to a specific person, or what spirits is in a specific area, or you'd actually be able to see them. Okay, if you are, there are some of you like that. So if you are only seeing demons, then it means we need to pray for you, because you're being oppressed and your gift is not being used the right way. So some people just want to see demons everywhere. Okay, there are more angels than what they are demons. So we need to pray for you so that you can also see the angels. Okay, but angels are huge and awesome to see. Some of you have got that, and we need you guys. You guys are the eyes that tells us what's happening around specific situations. Then speaking in tongues, this specific speaking in tongues and the interpretation of tongues refers to when someone feels an unction from the Lord to come into the front of the church and to say something in a tongue as some kind of a message from the Lord for everyone. And then someone who has a tongue means a language that you don't understand. And then someone else has the gift of interpretation of tongues. I always speak about my one friend who has that. She hears it in Afrikaans. Okay, she hears when someone stands here speaking in the tongue, she hears in Afrikaans what the Lord's saying, and then she goes up and she tells everybody, this is what the Lord's saying. I think sometimes it's just because when the Lord would actually tell us what he wants to say, we sometimes twist it. So then, I don't know, he uses that way sometimes to also speak with us. Okay, and then often it gets confirmed with a few people. That speaking in tongues is different. There's a whole teaching on that. I can give it to you at a later stage, but it's different from the ability to pray in tongues. Paul says, I would have you all pray in tongues, okay? And even more so that you'd prophesy, okay? And then the word also often speaks about praying in the spirit, praying in, you know, building yourself up, praying in this spirit. It's when you pray in a heavenly language that speaks directly from your spirit to God. And it's like spiritual gymming almost. When you pray for that for half an hour, then you explode. Now all believers have the ability to do that. Just ask the Holy Spirit, ask God to release you in that. But I'm most of you have already been released in that. If not, then just continue asking the Lord, because that is a major blessing. But that's different from the specific gift that not everybody has. Okay, then I just want to say that God can use you in any of these gifts or in combinations of these gifts at any time, but you will probably specialize in a specific one or two as the Lord has determined, which usually is something that fits your personality and fits who you are quite well. But he can use you in whatever way he wants to use you. And, you know, sometimes it's, you don't need to classify exactly what this thing is. Is it now a word of wisdom? Is it now this? Is it now that? It doesn't matter. Okay? Sometimes it's a word combination, and sometimes the one leads to the other, and sometimes it's all three in one sentence. It doesn't matter. It was just given to make sense to the Corinthians of all the things they see happening around them. Okay. So this is the first very important thing that we need to talk about, okay? And I see it's almost 8 o'clock, so we need to almost pray for each other and leave. Next week we'll only do ministry for each other. And if that scares you, you don't want to come next week because we're going to like minister for each other and stuff like that, then remember it's going to rain out of clear sky. You don't want to miss that. So come. Okay. That's, yeah. I'm tempted to say that's a joke, but I don't want to say that's a joke because then maybe it happens. Okay. So what Paul does in 1 Corinthians, just note this. He introduces the gifts to them, exactly like I did now. Okay? In 1 Corinthians 12. In 1 Corinthians 13 is that crazy chapter about love. Okay? Hectic chapter about love that says if you can speak in tongues, if you can prophesy, but you do not have love, you're nothing. Okay? You're worthless. Okay? He puts that one right in the middle. And then he continues in 1 Corinthians 14 with like the practical side of how to do it, how it works, stuff like that. So that's what I want to do also. First, I introduced you to that. Most of you kind of knew it, but I just want to make sure that everybody's on the same page. Then we need to speak about love now, and then we're going to practice it. Okay, so when we, and this is also very, this is the crux of the matter. When you want, if you want to flow in these gifts, it's not for having a spooky experience or having a hectic hoo-ha, okay? Not at all. If that's what you're after, then you can go to some other crusades somewhere and you can buy a miracle and have your fling with it. But that's not what the Holy Spirit is here for, okay? He's here to help us to love people the way that Jesus loved them, okay? And that's our motivation. If you walk in a mall and you want to, you know, you walk around saying, oh, let's go find some sick people so we can see some crazy stuff happening, that's not cool, okay? You just want to use, like, the power of God to see, to have a show, okay? You need to align your heart towards a person like Jesus did. He was moved with compassion. Every time it says he was moved with compassion. When he engaged people, and it says that they were all healed. That's crazy, okay? That's where we're moving to, okay? We wonder when as we get more like Jesus, the more everyone will get healed like he did when he touched them, okay? As we grow towards them, okay? So, the motivation is love, plain and simple. And what makes it so awesome, and it's kind of a test for your heart, is that love never fails. If you go to someone and you're like, oh, I see that you're sick, we can kind of pray, you know, God heals, and your faith is kind of in the healing that must happen now, and the person does not get healed, and you're like, oh, God, you failed me now, you know. You made yourself look bad now, and me. Yeah. Because oftentimes that's the reason why we do not pray for people, right? Because we don't know what's going to happen, and we can look stupid. Is that like that? Okay. If you go to someone, and I want you to like try this sometime this week with anyone that you see who's hurting, and you go to that person in that wheelchair or that situation, and you have got so much empathy with them right there, okay? Look them in the eyes, say them, it's my heart's desire that you can walk, like, you know, and they can see, like, you know, tears running down your face. You so want them to be able to walk. You so want them to, you know, you so want them to be able to live in the fullness of what the Lord has for them. And they see that love coming on them, towards them, and, you know, engaging them, like especially from a random person, you know, that's probably the most love they've experienced in a long time. And now you tell them, but my God can heal you. Let's pray, you know. And you pray, and nothing happens. You know what? That's still the most epic experience that guy's had. Because someone just came to him and loved him from nowhere. Just loved him, like ridiculously. It doesn't matter if he got healed or not. He was loved. That's why love never fails. Love doesn't fail. So if you go with love, you don't fail when a miracle for some other reason doesn't happen. So that should never scare you. You should go anyway with anyone. Okay? Because the commandment is to love, not only to do miracles. The miracles is underneath the love. It's for the purpose. Does that make sense? Okay, love. It's for the love. Great. That's exactly what I wanted to share with you. Then this is what we're going to do right now. I'm sorry it's a little bit late, but that's one of those things in life. In other parts in South Africa and other parts of Africa, a two-hour church service is so incredibly short. So hang in there, guys. Wait and listen. Okay. I want you guys to get this right. We can maybe go to the previous slide, just hearing God's voice. Because most of these things happen as you hear God's voice. Okay, like fellowshipping with Him is hearing His voice. Engaging people with the gifts, whether inside of the church or outside, you hear Him and you move. Okay? He says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. And then another translation, I think we need to just like take both. My sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. So hear and listen are two things, and it's, you know, good that I think the word probably in Greek incorporates both those aspects. To listen to and to hear, okay? So if you listen and you hear and you follow, you will know His voice. But what we so often, we just do not listen. We do not wait and listen. It's so easy as that, to wait and listen. And to get into the habit of waiting and listening and following. That's where we need to be at, okay? Waiting, hearing, listening, and following. That's where we need to be at, because that's where these things start to happen and start to become real. Okay. We speak too much. What we're going to start with now is we're only going to be 10 more minutes. Is that okay? Thank you. For half of you that said yes, the other half, I don't know, but you have to stay. We're going to start, and what we're going to do is we're asking the Lord that He would partner with us in this training exercise, okay? Because He's here right now, okay? He's always here. He knows what we are doing. He asked us to do this, okay? That's why He asked me, because that's what we believe the Lord's saying we should do now. So He's here. We're asking Him, He must partner with us now to help us, because we need to learn these things amongst each other. Okay, so we can just go to that messages slide. Messages. Okay, so what we're going to do is you're going to find someone that you do not know that well. If you know everybody very well, or if all the unknowns are all already taken, then you can maybe take someone else. That's okay. And I want us to trust. I want us to then like pray for each other, but not, if you pray for someone, don't just start speaking. Okay, well, like, what do you know what to say? How do you know what to speak? You can just start speaking because you already know the answer, or you know what you should pray. No, you first listen, then you follow. Okay, so I want you to find someone now, and then what you're going to do is you're going to stand in front of them, you're going to lay your hands on each other, you're going to close your eyes, and you're going to decide who goes first, because that, you know, creates some tension among some people. Then you're always like, oh, is he going to pray now, or must I pray now? But then you listen to God, because you don't know who's going to pray first, okay? That's just the enemy trying to bring confusion. So, decide who's going to go first, and then you just lay your hand on them, and we're going to trust for, to start with, words of wisdom, okay? Well, what's words of wisdom? It's like godly advice. It's like having God as a consultant to tell you, give you awesome advice for your life now and going forward, okay? So having wisdom beyond your years that you receive from the Lord, we're going to first trust for that one, okay? Then we're going to work through them, because I want them to I want you to have them remember how they feel. And then you're going to wait on the Lord until you experience something. Sometimes it's words, sometimes it's a picture, sometimes it's a number, sometimes it's something random, okay? And you start speaking what you feel the Lord's saying. Sometimes it's only half a sentence. You say that half a sentence, okay? The Lord only reveals, He says He only reveals in part. So, sometimes He only reveals, and then when you are obedient in walking in that, then He reveals the next part. Okay, so then you say what you see. I see this picture, or I experience the Lord saying this thing, and then you share that with them. Ask them, does that make sense? Then they will either fall down crying, saying yes, yes, that's what I needed to hear, or they'll say no. Okay, those are the options. Okay. And then if they say no, then they will also say, oh, you of little faith. Okay? That's a joke. We need to create an environment, okay, where we can learn these things, okay? We can learn, how does the voice of God sound like? How do I know that this is the Lord speaking? Why was it not the Lord now? What was this? To start to distinguish, because as we wait, we hear, we follow, we wait, we hear, we follow, we recognize His voice. We will start to know exactly how His voice sounds. But if we don't practice that, then it's kind of difficult to ever know what His voice sounds like. Okay, because He speaks to you on the inside. So I want you guys to find someone, and then you ask, and if they've told you, okay, yes, it was accurate. If they say no, it was not accurate, then you have a good chuckle about it, and you move on, okay? But we need to create an environment where we can we don't feel scared that we're gonna miss it, because if we feel scared we're gonna miss it, we are never gonna train in it, okay? You need to feel free to miss it. I'll walk up to someone in a restaurant, wherever I'm looking. Hi, my name is Mark, because I don't want them to know my real name. Then, they might just. I'm joking. I would tell them my real name, then I would say, do you have pain here in your left pubian? Maybe. And then they'd be like, no, I don't have pain. Then I'd be like, that's awesome. That's great. Just imagine you had pain. Isn't that great? You know? Let's praise the Lord for that. Okay? It's fun to have it wrong. Okay? It's fun to have it wrong, but we need to practice these things. until we can really know the voice of the Lord and we can know it well. Okay. Does that make sense? It's not so tense, okay? Having it wrong is cool. Find someone. Everybody stand up. Find someone in the next 30 seconds. All right. Okay, guys. If I can just get all of your attention before we go drink coffee. Everyone, who received a great message from the Lord that was very applicable in your life, like mine? Hands up. Yeah, yeah. You know what? You wouldn't have received an awesome message from the Lord if someone didn't take the time to listen and to say it to you right now. Okay? Can I just get everyone's attention this? I just want to like wrap up. Okay. I kind of threw in on the deep end, because usually you get words of wisdom when you know someone's situation. And the Lord speaks to you about this situation. I didn't let you know each other's situations now, so you kind of gone in blind. But that's better. But the words of wisdom happen so often. You know, we like to give advice. We like, someone's got an issue, then we think we know, we can, you know, give advice. Just shut up. Okay? Listen what God is saying, and then give advice. Okay? That's a word of wisdom. Listen to what God is saying about that person in that situation, or about that person's future, or about that person's struggle, or whatever it is. And then say, okay, like, don't give advice from, you know, all the things that you've learned. The Lord will highlight if you need to say something from something that you've learned, because it is applicable sometimes, and He wants to use that, because that's why He took you through that. But other times, you like don't be presumptuous and know and think you know what advice to give. Use this empowerment from the Lord to get the right advice to lead someone forward. Does that make sense? That's the word of wisdom. Starting with the basics, we're going to move on next week, because it's a bit late now, and we're going to move through all of them. We're really going to train in them. Okay, so I would like to close for us in prayer, and then we can have an amazing week. Father God, thank you that we could be here in your presence, and thank you that you're here with us, Lord, and thank you that you are just lighting fires in our hearts, Lord, to move with you, and in the same way that you moved when you were on earth. Lord, we want to become like you in every way. I pray that you would help us with that, Lord, all of our lives. I pray that you would open up our spiritual senses, that we'll be able to see and hear and feel you, Lord. And I pray your blessing over everyone this week, Lord. May your face shine upon them, Lord. May you really bless them, Lord. May they experience the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God in this week. In Jesus' name, amen.